You think it's over, it's only begun. Child is born who has to face the world you're leaving, a dangerous place. Listen to the voices crying to be free. Give me the promise that we promised to be. Love and understanding are better than a war. People just laughing cause they've heard it before. Night chills in plenty town. Cardboard hotels, they sleep on the ground. Choices how to respond, red or rosy with the duck and l'orange. Listen to the voices, so easy to ignore. Choruses of old folks scared to open the door. Living in the shadows, dying in the cold. In a city jungle, ain't no place to grow.
That's Lobby Sifri with Listen to the Voices. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Wednesday, November the 21st. And an extremely fragile ceasefire is said to have been worked out between Israel and Hamas, and might, if all goes well, begin later today. But feverish negotiations were punctuated by a bomb blast aboard a bus near military headquarters in Tel Aviv, wounding about 27 people. Unlike the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya on September the 11th, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was immediately able to declare it was a terrorist attack. It might have been a change in location. It might have been an epiphany. We don't know. But I hope, I really hope that she doesn't link this to Iran. I really hope so. I really hope so, because this is what she would be going to do if it in any way this involves Iran. This is what she told Keith Olbermann about how Iran should be dealt with.
And one of the ways of testing it is to make it very clear that we are not going to permit them, if we can prevent it, from becoming a nuclear power. But were they to become so, their use of nuclear weapons against Israel would provoke a nuclear response from the United States, which personally I believe would prevent it from happening.
Did I hear her say that she is prepared to threaten Iran with nuclear annihilation, even though she doesn't think it's going to come to that, and even though the National Intelligence Estimate says, in fact, if anything, Iran is going backwards in terms of its seeking a nuclear device?
You did hear that correctly, yes. The question is, what constitutes an attack on Israel were Iran to get a nuclear bomb? And what condition is Iran's nuclear program anyway? Can you negotiate them with them at the same time as threatening a nuclear response? You know, these are pretty, it's brinkmanship and the kind of approach that is at odds with what Senator Obama has said.
Well, of course, you get the sense that that was the 2008 election when Hillary Clinton was doing all that she could to separate herself and distinguish herself between from among the other candidates, but especially from Barack Obama, who now is her boss. Now, there's something quite interesting about how this coverage is going. And there will be motivations for it, and we need to watch it. We'll watch it. If you listened yesterday, you know where I'm going. you would get the feeling, and you do get the feeling from, I watched CNN, I watched NBC, CBS, they all say the same thing. It's like the Olympics. Like the Olympics, really. Where you have thousands of athletes involved in the games. But the only athletes that matter are those from the United States. You don't hear about the folks from this country or that. It's the U.S. that dominates coverage. As if not only don't they want to know more about the rest of the folks, they don't want you to know about the rest of the folks either. In a situation that clearly involves the world community of nations, media coverage focuses on Hillary Rodham Clinton. And I told you yesterday, this is her big hurrah. This is what she needs to make a grand exit. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that she isn't concerned about peace. But bear in mind, she is an emissary of the president. She has been given an assignment, but it will be maneuvered and manipulated in such a way as to suggest Hillary is president. And this will be the parting gift from Barack Obama, who inadvertently, I have no idea why, he has chosen to act as her advance man when he went to the Southeast nations, and she tagged along. She wasn't nearly supposed to be there, really. But she tagged along and was able to put the crisis on hold in the Middle East while she basically took the tour to be seen with the president and to be anointed by the president and to gather historic footage so that she will be, when she declares in 2016 for president, she would have ample footage to demonstrate her capacity for leadership, which will now be credible. And all these things are being orchestrated and choreographed to suggest that Hillary Rodham Clinton is the big hero here. Nobody else is involved. The heck with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Egypt is not involved. The Arab League is not involved. Other leaders of countries are not involved. And only when Hillary lands is business really being done. And Hillary, here she comes to save the day. She becomes an instant hero. This is how it's done. This is how it's done. And in the process, continues to send the wrong message to the world community of nations. The United States, yes, it's a permanent member of the UN Security Council, but we have a whole bunch of people outside of the United States living in this world. And they are part of the process. They're supposed to be part of this process. But here we have, again, the United States coming in like, one of those gunslingers in the Western movies. They come in clearly biased here because she had declared, as had the president, absolute unconditional support for Israel. Clearly, the question is, could such an avowed bias engender credibility in the peace process? And what is your problem in allowing Ban Ki-moon, the man elected by the world community of nations, who preceded you there, and who had been involved along with the Arab League and along with Egypt's foreign minister, had been trying to do what they could and we're progressing. You jump in, you take it all over. That's the American way. In fact, that's the ugly American way. Ugly American behavior. But Hillary Clinton never cared about what people thought, as long as she extracts from every situation what she needs to extract for herself, because money and power is what the Clintons are all about. They don't care how they get it, as long as they get it. And you can put as much makeup and you can put as much feminine grace as you want behind it. There is raw, undiluted self-interest and a grab for power. Make no mistake about it. And by the way, I did tell you my position with respect to Hillary Clinton. She has no qualifications other than the fact that she was a wife of a president and got to travel when Brother Bill was traveling. But in the span of, and when you take a look at that, in a span of only, what, maybe six, let's say 10 years, she went from wife of president, I do call her the co-president because that's what she was, wife, the co-president, to U.S. Senate, boom. And from U.S. Senate to Secretary of State. All the while, publicly professing contempt for the man for whom she works. Cutting him down. Bill did his share of cutting Barack Obama to shreds. But politics is interesting. All is forgiven if I get what I want. And what she wanted was a job she was not prepared for, made very little investment in, not like Madeleine Albright, not even like Jean Kilpatrick, not like Condoleezza Rice, not like any Secretary of State. But she got her plum. She almost kicked Barack Obama off, almost kicked him off. But if she was going to lose, she's going to win. And this is a big win. So, in as much as she has announced her intention to leave the spot of Secretary of State, she is going to leave with heavy political ammunition. And everything is like the perfect storm of public relations for a person in her position. You have adversity, there's drama, there's war, and here is Hillary. I can deal with that. I am woman, hear me roar. I can solve the problems of the world. Elect me. And that's what's coming. Shoving all the men aside. You're more mad than all the men out there. You don't have to deal with the delicate matter of where you fall in the scheme of things. You may be, your country may be a member of the UN Security Council, but you don't outrank Ban Ki-moon. You don't. And you don't exist as the power on the planet. But this is why people bristle at this kind of stuff. In the diplomatic world, this is how people regard the United States. Ugly. Completely devoid of protocol. Not understanding how you work in a world community of nations. And here's a perfect opportunity to change that tune. You are a renegade, essentially. And it's interesting, this blind allegiance to Israel, this unconditional support for Israel, because Israel and the United States have something in common. They both refuse to recognize the International Court of Justice. They both refuse to abide by international law. They openly flout the UN conventions that all other nations agree to abide by. The United States and Israel are in lockstep and have a long and dedicated history of flipping the bird to the United Nations and international courts. The very treaty or ceasefire that is being worked out is being worked out in the context of flagrant violation of international law. Whatever the treaty turns out to be, the fact is, as it stands now, 15 members of the International Court of Justice were and have been unanimous in their view that Israel has been violating the terms of the Treaty of 1967 by illegally occupying Palestinian areas. The U.S. doesn't care. The United States is a renegade government in terms of the world community of nations. It breaks the law. It says, we don't care. You can't do anything with us. You heard the attitude. Hillary Clinton in 2008 says, listen, I am prepared to obliterate Iran. I'm prepared to use nuclear bombs. This lady's not joking. And that's our Secretary of State, our liberal Secretary of State, who also happens to be a lawyer by training, okay? And the lawyer by training, working for another lawyer who is the president, they know damn well that the United States and Israel have consistently thumbed their noses at the United Nations and at all international conventions with this situation. The bottom line of it is this. Israel refuses to adhere to the law. And the law says, get out of your settled areas. It continues to do it. And the United States says, no matter what, we are siding with Israel. Well, then you are a gangster too. And we miss that point all the time. Hillary Clinton and the media is going to be looked at as a hero. The question is, for Americans, is this what we want? Do we want our country to continue to side unconditionally with another country, and the only thing that you have in common more than anything else is that you both agree you are above the law? Time and again, this issue comes before the United Nations, and time and again, the American response is, screw you. It doesn't matter whether the president is a Democrat or Republican. They are in lockstep with the rogue state of Israel in deliberately flouting international law. I mean, there are so many conventions that they simply refuse to recognize. The United States does not recognize the International Criminal Court. It does not recognize it. It doesn't even pay it any mind. The court in The Hague could issue whatever rulings it wants. And it issued a ruling years and years and years ago. Israel is breaking international law. All nations could see that. And every time these measures come up at the United Nations, Israel is illegally occupying Palestinian territory. Illegally doing it. Now, tell me, where in the world do you know of a people who are living with the settlers who are content? Where you have to have a pass to go from street to street. You have to have permission to do everything. You don't even have running water. They cut off your water. They build walls. They bomb your hospitals. They drop phosphorus, which burns at a rate of something like 1,500 degrees on people and so forth, and bombs and water could come at any time. And they do whatever they want. And the United States, Americans have to start asking this question. The United States literally behaves like a rogue nation in support of a rogue nation. There is a thing called the law. And all of the nations of the world sign on to that. That's why you have a General Assembly, where the world community of nations basically try to hash out the problems that they have with each other. But to maintain a truculence, to maintain an obstinate defiance of the law, and then act like you could come in now, you're coming in as the great negotiator to the assistance of another nation that consistently breaks the law. And nowhere in the coverage of this whole thing would that ever come up. The New York Times won't ask it, CBS won't ask it, Fox won't ask it, nobody would ask it. Our nation is in direct contravention and insisting on it for years and years and years. It has been breaking international law of human rights, international law with respect to occupied territories. And in this, the 15-member Court of Justice, International Court of Justice, has been unanimous. Has been unanimous on this question, which is at the root of the tensions here. All of the fighting concerns the occupied territories. This is not about whether Israel feels threatened or Hamas feels threatened. It's not a tidy situation at all. But we can all agree that at the root of this is the fact that Israel has been breaking the law for decades now and has a partner in the United States. And both nations, in the eyes of the world, are rogue nations. if we can agree that an impartial body continues to examine this question, an impartial body drawn from all over the world, these justices, all over the world, and they say, we're going to the heart of the matter here. The heart of the matter is Israel breaking the law? There was a whole bunch of things that they agreed to, or that they should have agreed to since 1967. And number one is, get out of these areas. These areas belong to the Palestinians. People would have you believe that the whole issue is this fear. Israel is afraid that the Arabs are going to creep up on them in the night and shoot them and kill them all. That is not the history of the area, nor is it the history of the conduct of people of the area. Since biblical times, Palestine was where everybody lived. And nobody's saying that this ought to be just for Arabs. That's never been the position. The position, though, is we're here. You met us here. In 1947, you met us here. And you proceeded with your three-pronged program of invading, occupying, and transforming. The world court says you are wrong. Not just the Palestinians. The world court says you are wrong. The world court says you may not build in these areas. The world court says occupying these areas is illegal and you are breaking the law. And therefore, in breaking the law, you create these kinds of tensions. And so when the United States, in the face of a legal argument, and just about everybody here has some kind of legal training. Our Secretary of State is supposed to be a great lawyer from the Rose Law Firm, but we remember that. Her husband is a great lawyer, but we remember that. It depends on what is. Barack Obama is a lawyer. And how come all these lawyers who know everything about citations and looking up case law and all that, suddenly can't tell what is at the root of the problem? The root of the problem is this country, Israel, and its staunch ally and supporter, the United States, both have consistently shown the United Nations and the world community of nations that they have no intention of abiding by the law. But it doesn't matter to Hillary. It doesn't even matter to Barack Obama. It's all about political currency. And their thinking is in 4-year spurts. How do I maximize my political currency in 4 years so that after I'm gone, I am guaranteed a serious return on the investment? I want to hear your thoughts at 1-888-874-4888 right after this short break. This is Lee Stories. I'm Nutrice Lead, here at your service. The number to call is 1-888-874-4888. And Jay from New York City, you're first.
How are you, Teresa? It's good hear your voice and to hear your analysis. I go way back with you to WBAI. I learned more from you than any other radio host in the business.
Thank you.
I'm just so glad I found you after
all
of this time. So you have my attention from 1 to 2 p.m. weekly.
Thank you, Jay. What do you have to say?
You know, basically, I always felt that Hillary Clinton's position was given to her as payback in regards to her not totally challenging Barack Obama after he won the nomination and showing her support along with her husband's support. But I don't see where she has really done anything at all, honestly, since she's been in office to bring any semblance of peace to that region. If anything, I think the region is about to explode. I really think at some point in time, we, the taxpayers of the United States, are going to have to honestly change our relationship with Israel because, you know, if this thing keep on escalating, it could lead to World War III or, you know, some calamity in this world that we at this present time don't need because that whole economic system over there is crashing as it is, and this will just bring more of a burden.
Well, thank you, Jay. That is a very astute observation. I'll tell you, there is no doubt that And I don't mean to sound that I just hate Hillary. It's not about that. I analyze the situation for what it is, and we're calling it as we see it. There can be no lasting peace. It won't happen, no matter what the PR effort is to make it look like, oh my God, Hillary Clinton has wrought another miracle and the United States again has solved the problems of the world. The essence of this problem, if there is going to be any genuine effort here, it's not about, hey, Fred over there, would you stop shooting? And Bobby over there, would you stop shooting? That's not a peace. Everybody knows what the real peace effort would look like, and it could start with the issue of the occupied territories. That's where peace is. And it would start with the United States and Israel. They are tied together as rogue nations in the eyes of the international world community. By continuously saying to the UN, we don't care what you think. We have no respect for your opinion. Even as they preach democracy and they're anti-terrorism and they're doing all of this, well, isn't the United States, in fact, aiding and abetting terrorism when it assists a country and signs on like that country to the mindset and attitude that we don't have to obey any laws? We don't have to obey any laws. We don't have to respect any laws. We're big and bad, and you can't do a thing about it. And again, I played a little snippet for you. Hillary Clinton in 2008 actually voiced what she believes. And she said no, she would not even hesitate if somebody were to attack Israel, meaning Iran, to unleash nuclear weapons. That's the mindset. There's no long-term prospect for anything here. These are not people dedicated to working long-term at anything. They think in four-year spurts.
In 4 years, when I run, what can I present to the people as my accomplishments? What can I do to enhance my portfolio and my PR package? That's all they think about. But don't let your eyes move anywhere except on that issue. Until you hear from Israel and the United States what they are going to do about the International Court of Justice decision repeatedly expressed. It's not that these justices have shut up about it. The question literally comes before the UN General Assembly very frequently. What are we going to do about the occupied territories? And even before they finish the sentence, they know what the vote is going to be, and the United States has veto power as a member of the UN Security Council. So that even if the world community of nations were to pass a resolution, it would see to it that it doesn't go through. And that's the game it has been playing in support of Israel. So this is the question. This is the nut of the question. It is not about bombs. The bombing and the warfare are all related to the question. They're all related to the central question. What is the United States doing, backing up a rogue nation that refuses to recognize the International Court of Justice as a nation professing its devotion and dedication to democracy and justice? And since 1967, you could live without it. And giving the illusion to the world, here's Hillary Clinton, but you know what? They're not fooling anybody. And that is why the political currency of the United States continues to go down and down and down, because the rest of the world is not so easily fooled. They see what's going on. They see what's going on. Our nation is a rogue nation. And as liberal as Barack Obama is, he is not ever going to depart. His administration is mimicking the same behavior as previous administrations. It remains the same. Whether it's Nixon or Reagan or Ford or Carter, it remains the same. The marching orders are, no matter what, we are not going to recognize the International Court of Justice's opinion with respect to the occupied territories in Israel. And that is the question. It's not about war. The question is about the occupied territories. 1-888-874-4888. I know I get worked up about this because I see this thing so clearly. It's really not that complicated. This is just basic understanding. This is not a complicated thing at all. Back when they fought the war in 1967 and annexed these territories, the human rights groups have condemned it. Have condemned the United States and Israel. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of pages illustrating the legal arguments, demonstrating how it is that these countries are in the wrong on legal terms. That's the question people have to ask in Israel of their government, and that's the question Americans have to ask of this government. Why do you continue to flout the law when you insist that you're one of the most law-abiding countries on the planet. And you, in turn, insist that other nations abide by the law. Americans have to ask the question, why do you disobey the law? And why do you continue to disobey the law? No one is fooled about any ceasefire that may come of this so-called negotiation process. Everybody knows it's all about just people catching their breath for a moment to figure out when to fire the next round of bombs. Because the central question has not been put on the table. They're all thinking that it's about, please, could you stop killing each other? No, that's not what the UN says. The UN says the issue is the occupied territories, and the issue is, by law, Israel is illegally occupying these territories, and by law, it needs to get out of those occupied territories. That's just the law. It has nothing to do with whether you like Israel or hate Israel. Whether you like America or hate America, that's the law. The law, that's how it is. These people, drawn from the world community, informed by the world community, the thinking of the world community, and the consensus of that body, not just the consensus, the unanimous decision. And repeatedly, it has been a unanimous decision. Both the United States and Israel are flouting the law. They must think people are silly. They really must think people are silly. But you know, I found something of interest here. And I want to talk to you about, since I have a little time, we haven't gotten another call. Maybe that means that you agree, or I don't know. I think it must mean that you agree. I want to read to you. This is how seriously, if people think that this question is a casual question for certain parts of the community. I'm reading an opinion piece. This ran actually in January of 2012. And it's from the publisher of the Atlanta Jewish Times. It's really scary. His name is Andrew B. Adler, and he writes, he's conjecturing, you see, you are Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. You are responsible for 7 million Israeli citizens who comprise the State of Israel. You wake up one morning and the Israel Defense Forces military commander hands you a detailed report regarding what to expect during a major conflict with Hezbollah and Syria 5 years from today. The report states that Israel will come under fire from 15,000 rockets and missiles, and that casualties will be in the thousands. That's thousands, not hundreds, thousands. Simultaneously, another IDF military commander strolls over while you are finishing your first cup of coffee and hands you a report that Iran has reached nuclear launch capabilities. If that's not enough, an Israeli diplomat informs you that you cannot expect much help from the United States due to its newly implemented military budget and the administration's never-ending Alice in Wonderland belief that diplomacy is the answer. To all the Netanyahus out there, what would you do? Well, here are your Kobayashi Maru options. Kobayashi Maru is a term used in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, to describe a no-win scenario or facing a solution that involves redefining the problem. One, order a preemptive strike against Hezbollah and Hamas, knowing that military and civilian casualties will be high, but not as high as they would be in 2017. Two, go against Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta's wishes that Israel take a lethal bullet in the name of preserving a healthy worldwide economic climate and order the destruction of Iran's nuclear facilities at all costs. Three, and listen carefully, three, give the go-ahead for U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out president deemed unfriendly to Israel in order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the Jewish state obliterate its enemies. Yes, you read three correctly. Order a hit on a president in order to preserve Israel's existence. Think about it. If I have thought of this Tom Clancy type scenario, don't you think that this almost unfathomable idea has been discussed in Israel's most inner circles? Another way of putting three into perspective goes something like this. How far would you go to save a nation comprised of 7 million lives, Jews, Christians, and Arabs alike? You have got to believe, like I do, that all options are on the table. With this in mind, I again ask you, Mr. Prime Minister, what would you do? ZB from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris. This is the first time I've heard your program, and you're great. Thanks for your open and honest opinions that you have so clearly elaborated here. What I want to say is, what can we do when even the Christian right, like the pastors and religious leaders that you hear on the radio, also support Israel, saying that they are the chosen people and that land belongs to them? What can you do when these people start talking like that? I'm telling you, it affects all of us so bad over here. Our country, we can see our country, how it's going down, because we are not, like you say, breaking the law, and we are doing injustice. We are maiming, killing, and we are going to have a whole population of dysfunctional children. And what can I say? It's even stressing me out emotionally, physically. I cry every day when I hear what our country is doing. I love this country, and I hope we take care of our country and not anybody else. We would love to help somebody do the right thing, but not the wrong thing. Like in Burma, they are killing people, and if they help in Burma, what's happening? That we can understand, but not what's happening here. That's affecting our country, our employment, our homelessness, and everything else. Thank you, Yatris, for everything. All I can say is that only God can correct the situation.
I think we can do something about it, too. And I think we need to ask the question of our government. Why are we disobeying the International Court of Justice? Why do we continue to disobey the law? And that is a simple question. But it's a loaded question, and we have to start asking it publicly. That's what I think. Thank you, ZB, for your call today. Well, it looks like we are getting close to the end of our program. I hope these things begin to percolate in your minds, because it is never what it seems. And anywhere I've said it, anywhere you see the Clintons, there are at least 400 agendas involved, okay? And they have to do with power and money. So if you wish to write me a note, and I really do welcome your comments and your notes, send me an email at leadstories@gmail.com. Thank you so much. Coming up next is Jack Rasmus and Alternative Visions. My goodness, my vision isn't all that good. Jack Rasmus and Alternative Visions. Cardboard hotels, they sleep.